Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Turning our attention now to a couple of new books that are out. We were just talking about the geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. I'm going to turn our attention to one of the great conservationists who probably ever lived, Aldo Leopold. A couple of new books out on Aldo Leopold, certain parts of his life, and they are written with children in mind, so they're children's books, but I have to tell you, I enjoyed reading those books, and I had a good time reading them, and you probably would too, be my guess. It would be my guess. We're going to visit with two people, the authors. First, with me in the studio, Nancy Nye-Hunt. Nancy, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. Nice to be with you.
She is the author of Aldo Leopold's Shack, Nina's Story. And, of course, Nina was Aldo Leopold, one of his children, and a very, in her own right, outstanding conservationist as well as absolutely wonderful human being.
That's exactly right. That's a good way to say it.
Had a chance to meet with her and serve with her on a committee or two, and, mm-hmm. and it was a great pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Excuse me. Also with us today by phone, Mary Beth Lorbiecki, who is the author of Things Natural, Wild and Free, The Life of Aldo Leopold. Let's see if I can get her on here. Have her on by phone.
Hello.
Hi, Mary Beth.
How are you?
Well, I'm in the process of losing my voice, so if it completely goes... Why don't you two just keep talking
All right.
until about 12:30, and then we'll be just fine.
That shouldn't be a problem.
No, the two of you, I'm sure that won't be a problem, judging from reading your books and taking a look at the interesting things you covered. Do you know each other, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We met each other. Sorry, Mary Beth.
Well, we met each other at Nina's celebration of her life. So that was... A very good experience just to be there to see and hear all the wonderful stories of Nina who carried on her father's legacy so well. And then to get to meet Nancy on top of it because I love her book. So.
Yeah, well, I tell you, both have nice books. And we'll have some fun talking about them today. I want to just turn our attention to our listeners for a minute. How familiar are you with Aldo Leopold? Have you read a Sand County Almanac? I wonder how many copies of a Sand County Almanac have been sold?
Certainly way over,
millions, yes. I would think.
Because it's international and it's been considered the environmentalist Bible and things.
and it's been consistently in print since 1948.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and it's a fantastic book. Actually, reading it even now... you might think it was written very recently, not 1948.
Well, oh, it's visionary, and we have not even really begun to scratch the surface as an American culture or the world to really live out what he was getting at.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring. So most people can, keep coming back to it and seeing different things every time they go back to it that they didn't notice before. So it's really a launching pad for so much.
Judith just let me know that in her own very efficient way that there are over 2 million copies in print in 9 languages.
Wow. I first read a Sand County Almanac when I took a wildlife ecology course here in Madison, and my teacher was Dr. Hickey, and he was one of Aldo's students.
And he was a great guy, too.
He was.
Yeah,
he really
a
was.
Wonderful guy. Well, I'll tell you what, Yes, I'm sorry, Mary Beth.
Oh, I was just going to say, I kind of went to the Almanac in a more roundabout way. I had met Kurt Meine, who is the definitive biographer on Leopold, and I fell in love with his book and then went to the Almanac. And I found that really the most exciting part for me were the interior essays that his son Luna had taken from his hunting journals. The essays from Round River that are in the Bantam paperback copy.
Yep.
And I just went, oh, I really love those. And it was only later when I kind of said, yes, I also like those introductory Fanconi. I like the second half of the book so much better. So for those of you who, it has a lot of different things in the almanac, and you can start in different places and find so much in it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to read it right straight through from chapter one to the end.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me give the number. For people who might want to join in today, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Love to have you do that. You can post a picture or a photo, or you can ask a question or post a comment. We've had some great ones already today. Appreciate those. So again, the number, 1-800-642-1234. And I want to ask you both, how did you come, well, let me start with Nancy, and then I'll go to Mary Beth, but how did you come to write a book, and a children's book at that, or aimed at least at children as maybe the primary audience, about Aldo Leopold's shack and Nina's story?
Thank you. I first met Nina in 1974 when I took a class here in Madison about American history and the environment. I believe Bill Cronin now teaches that course, but Ken Bowling taught that then. And we took a field trip out west, and I was with Gordon Stevenson, who is Nina's son-in-law. And we stopped in Montana, and I met Nina on the side of a mountain in Montana, and she showed me my first Pasque flower. So that was my introduction to the family, and we've been friends ever since. And I feel like I've been absorbing the stories for a long time. Then I asked if my daughter, my youngest daughter, could do an internship while she was in high school with Nina. And she lived with her for 3 weeks and gardened and cooked and just learned so many things at Nina's knee. And when we went back to visit her that August in 2005, when we were leaving, Nina said, you know, when this all started, it meant nothing to me. Now it means everything. And we all laughed, and I said, boy, Nina, that's pretty zen, you know. And yeah, then we said our goodbyes. And we drove through her prairie and got right to her mailbox, and I instantly saw this children's book in my mind. And I wrote down the note, which I still have, about my idea. And I had known about Mary Beth's book and Julie Dunlap's book, and they were geared towards middle school readers. And I knew that there wasn't a book about Aldo for the earlier years. So my book is aimed at first through sixth grade.
But I would like to say it's for everybody. I mean, I just have to say that I was so delighted to read Nancy's book and see the photos, and it's so well designed. But what is so beautiful about it, which in a biography you try and capture, but she could focus on, is the sense of discovery with play. And how the shack, you know, was such a family gathering spot for excitement in the environment through play. You know, they went there. It was supposed to be a hunting shack, and it ended up they were hunting for just adventure. They had archery. They had everything. And she captures it so well, that sense of this was not a chore.
This was fun.
This was their life, family, excitement, and it was, and it continues to be. And I think that's, I sometimes feel that we've made nature a museum at nature centers where they can't touch things and everything else. You know, kids come into nature centers, and we don't have forts and play centers and everything else. This is the model, I think, if we want to engage kids, get them engaged in playing and exploring and being wild and crazy and hunting and everything in the outdoors. That's my thing.
And how did you happen to come to write your book, Mary Beth?
Well, because Kurt was a close friend of my husband's, and so I met him and read his book, and then I said, wow, kids need to know about this fabulous guy and how he looked at the outdoors as adventure, which led him to science and everything else. So first I studied, and then I got to meet Nina, and she was so gracious and wonderful. She's just my model of who I'd like to be when I'm older. And so through her, I came to the shack and was introduced to her family. Her family members later, little by little. But, and then I saw that there was really no book for just lay people with photos and things. So then I ended up writing an adult, young adult, you know, mostly adult, but young adult book called A Fierce Green Fire, you know, Aldo Leopold, A Fierce Green Fire. So I just felt like there was this big gap that people just didn't know enough about him and see it him not in a more personal way. So those were my love letters, really.
that is very well put. Ed in Trade River has a comment he wants to share, a question. Ed, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you, and thank your guests for writing books about Aldo. I just wanted to share a story. 25 years ago, my friend and I were college students in Madison, and beautiful spring day, and we decided, why don't we go try to find Aldo's shack? So we drove around and didn't really know where we were going, stopped at a tavern or two, and they didn't know who Aldo was. But we finally found it after a couple hours search, and we're walking around peeking in the windows, and here comes this woman down the driveway, and it's Nina. And she says, you know, can I help you? And we told her, well, we kind of regard Aldo's shack as a shrine, and we just wanted to pay a visit to it. And she was so warm, and she said, oh, no, go right ahead and feel free to walk around the grounds and point out a trail or two. And I just wanted to share that just that one impression from a person can leave a lasting memory. So she seemed to be a marvelous person and very, very considerate of us young kids trying to find his shack. So.
Well, that is a great story, and I tell you what, we'll reflect on that story in just a bit with Nancy and Mary Beth. We need to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with our two guests, Nancy Nye Hunt and Mary Beth Lorbiecki, who have authored books on Aldo Leopold. Here in Wisconsin, Aldo Leopold is respected and revered for his leadership on conservation and wildlife management. And in fact, his accomplishments just don't benefit our state, but really wilderness and forest across the country and the world. Larry Mueller here, so happy to have you along on the Ideas Network. Our guests are two authors, have two recent books for young people that examine Aldo's life and legacy and his family and what they have left. How much do you know about his work and his writings, Aldo Leopold? Are you aware that his daughter Nina continued his commitment to nature and research in phenology pretty much all her life? Mary Beth Lorbiecki and Nancy Hunt are happy to answer your questions when you call us at 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page and post there at The Larry Mueller Show. We'll be back right after the news. Taking a look today at Aldo Leopold and his legacy, and part through a couple of books that have been written about Aldo Leopold and his family. One book is called Aldo Leopold's Shack, Nina's Story. Nancy Nye Hunt is the author, and she's with me in the studio today. The other book is titled Things Natural, Wild, and Free, The Life of Aldo Leopold, and Mary Beth Lorbiecki. Lorbiecki is the author of that, and she's with us by phone. I hope she still is. Mary Beth, you still there? Good.
I'm here, yes. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, if you have some questions for our guests or comments or maybe some experiences to share, maybe at the shack, maybe with Nina Leopold, Bradley, I would welcome them at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page and post there. Just go to The Larry Mueller Show. And, of course, we would love to hear from you. And, in fact, we have a Facebook comment from Suzanne. My future husband moved to Burnett County in 1991 and became a huge fan of Aldo Leopold and a Sand County Almanac. He made me read it before we got married in 1995. Neither of us is from Wisconsin, but we definitely live in a Sand County.
That says it all.
that's pretty cool, Mary Beth.
Oh, absolutely. I love the requirement. Before marriage, you must read this. I'm trying to get my kids to read things, and it isn't working as well yet. So.
Mary Beth, your book starts with a background of the family that Aldo was born into. What stands out to you as important formative experiences within the family?
Well, they have a study somebody did of people who end up in conservation and making contributions or just enjoying the natural world. And there's always, in their childhood, adults who led them to this and shared their own joy, grandparents and everything else. And Aldo's grandfather was a landscape architect and a naturalist. And he just shared his love of gardening and the artistic, you know, the aesthetic view. And he was very pioneering. He was a German immigrant, and yet he didn't take the European view of formal gardens. He liked the American natural plants and wildlife, and so he used those to do a beautiful garden in Burlington on the top of the bluffs. And so Aldo grew up on the bluffs of Burlington, looking out, watching the flyway of all the migrating birds. And his father was a hunter, and so he would then watch them for hunting reasons and go out hunting, but he would be hunting with his sketchbook and his notebook, taking notes and gardening at the same time. And then his mom added this whole aspect of loving the outdoors for skating and poetry and literature. So she got him reading everything and thinking about philosophy and literature, and she wanted him to go to a school where he could do that. So you saw this wonderful mentoring, and his grandmother was gracious and would make all these cookies and everything else. So you just came from this very rich family environment of and community spirit. They were very much contributing to the environment of the town. I mean, there's a park with a lake named after Starker, his dad, his grandfather, because he helped get the city of Burlington to have parks, and he brought in the Opera House, and everything was about having this art and nature, humans with nature together, respecting the natural world, but participating in it as a positive piece and weaving it into your life. And that's what Aldo did. He brought all that together in his life and then passed it on to his kids. And his kids, each one of them, became a pioneer in a certain passion they had, whether it was water, whether it was wildlife with Starker, it was plant biology and seed genetics and ethnobiology. Each one of those children then followed one aspect of their passion that they had developed at the shack and in their childhood.
Yeah. And Nancy, your book focuses on Aldo as an adult and the family that he and his wife raised together. And I'm sure you see these parallels in the appreciation he developed for nature and as a child himself, and then how he shared that with his own children.
Yes, exactly. One of the first things when I interviewed Nina for the story, one of the very first things she told me was that her father never forced his views or his ideas upon his children. He just quietly would say, well, for instance, we just bought an old worn out farm, and we'll be going there tomorrow. Would anyone like to come along? It was never it was never an order. There was never an order, and all of his children knew that he did the wonderful work that he did, and so everyone, just like Mary Beth said, everyone wanted to be part of the fun. So there was a natural enthusiasm for the outdoor world, and the joke in the family is that when they went to the shack, of course they brought their homework because they were all responsible kids, but they brought homework, food, the gun, and the guitar, and the homework was always shelved, and everyone else was... And the camera, yeah, and everyone was always outside doing fun things, fun projects. One thing I wanted to say about... Mary Beth had a wonderful introduction to his family, and one of the profound experiences that Aldo had with his father, Carl, was that in the 1890s, there was a lot of overhunting of migratory birds. And Carl Leopold, his father, Aldo's father, naturally limited, took personal responsibility for limiting what he took. Mm-hmm. And so that had an effect on Aldo, showing him that individuals can have an effect in the environment.
Well, and also his father then became active both in his hunting club, but in sportsmen. He was part of the Boone and Crockett and part of the Isaac Walton League. So he was part of those early movements as hunters to be responsible, like she said, and that then carried through in Aldo's life where he became active. And in fact, he promised his father, I will do something for the ducks. I will do something for the game. And by the time he'd been into forestry and things for a while, he'd been trying to get a game refuge here in the national forests and things out in the Southwest, and he hadn't quite done it. And then he got sick and almost died. And when he got sick and almost died and he's laying in his bed, his thought was, I promised my dad I would do something, and I haven't done it. The first thing I'm going to do when I get my energy back, I'm going to do it. And he did. And he got national refuges to be part of looking at what a forest is supposed to do, that it's supposed to also have wildlife in it. And he got game societies in the Southwest. And he really started building this idea of not only do we enjoy the natural world, but we take care of it. And we don't go to the limits. I mean, there's enough. There's a sense, like Bill McKibben says now, a sense of enough. We can take some and leave a remnant. And that's a very biblical concept.
Yep.
And in every religion in the world, they say, you know, take some but leave some.
Yep, absolutely.
And pass it on, you know.
Joe in Menominee has a comment or a question. I want to go to Joe. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, thanks. Thanks for letting me call in. I read all the Leopold San Antonio Almanac when I was a college student, and it's never left me. And I do appreciate the comment, by the way, of Aldo's grandfather, because I restored 3 acres of land to native flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've done that, I've had every year an increasing population of monarch butterflies, such that my land is now designated as a way station.
Wow.
So it's great. I mean, they're just flocks of them come in now, and at any given time, you can go out into the fields and find the caterpillars moving along in their life cycle. So we also have blue Karner butterflies now that have come in. And
Karner bulls?
Yeah, they're kind of rare.
So they're rare, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a joy just following through with all those theme and appreciation of the interplay of flora and fauna. So that's my story. If you have any comments,
thank you so much for calling.
It made me think. Right now, I'm just trying to get my kids through college, but I keep thinking someday I want to get a piece of land, and maybe it's the grandkids I get to do it with, where we try that restoration.
Yeah,
because it's just something I'd like to do, but it doesn't. Not in the scope. So the kids laugh because I have a little prairie in the front of my house, and then I plant trees, and my husband says, honey, you can't keep planting trees in our little place because there's no place for the sun. So my garden's competing with my trees, but
well, and you know, Nancy, you focus a lot of your story on the shack and the shack and the development of the land and the retreat of course. Wasn't much to look at when they bought it.
That's right. That's exactly what Nina said. She was not mincing words at all when she said it was and in this tone of voice, it was a grim and barren landscape. She just said it was so awful when they first went there. But she knew about her father's work in helping to create the Arboretum in Madison. And so when she heard about her parents discussing their plans for this farm, she was very excited about what the possibility could be. And another point that she really was wanted to say in this book and to get the message out is how important her mother Estella's work was with her father. And that with all of the children that they had, that her mother made it possible for Aldo to have such a significant career in conservation and ecology.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to really echo that as well, because without him, first of all, there would have been no discipline whatsoever in that family in some ways. I mean, not that Aldo didn't have a discipline thing, but he was very busy and everything else, and so she was the one who kind of set up the structure for the family, and he would come walking home from work, and they would see him coming, and Estelle was like, okay, everybody clean up quick, you know, and then they put the classical music on. So it was like she really created this home environment where he could thrive, but also where the kids, they would, you know, laugh, and the boys were pretty wild, but she kept that family structure going with him in a different way, and they as a family took up the whole hobby of archery, and he would make his own bows in the basement during the winter, and Estella was the one who became the best at archery. Jeez. And she even taught at the University of Wisconsin-Madison archery, and so they would, as a game, they would rove and put targets, and you would, you know, go through the woods, or you would go at the shack doing roving targets. So they made everything a game.
She was, Estella, the mom, was actually a state champion archer.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, wonderful stories. And we have Sarah in Winona, Minnesota. I want to give her a chance. And I've got some emails and some Facebook comments, too, that are really great. Sarah, are you there?
Yep. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
When I was in college, we took a field trip one day up to the shack, and I was fortunate to have been selected to read the section about the great oak on the site where it had been growing.
Mm.
But my comment was on the drive up there, we had passed through mile after mile of these pine plantations, as is, has been the course in the past many decades to plant these pine trees. And through the pines were the struggling oaks that were probably the native tree vegetation in that area. And at the shack site, there were pines planted there as well, and I was told that that was because Aldo Leopold liked pines. So now I'm wondering, the lesson of Leopold, I think, is that, you know, as another example in his book, that he used to hunt the wolves because he thought it was good for the other wildlife, and but he realized that that was wrong, that there was a natural balance there. And so I'm wondering if it is part of the plan to maintain that static memorial to Aldo in the way that he had it when he lived there, or if there would be an idea to take his philosophy and try to make the landscape there more in tune with what it should have been naturally. And I'll take your response off air.
All right.
Well, I'd like to make...
Yeah, Mary Beth, go ahead.
Responses. One is, when he was born, they had... they planted some pine trees in honor of the kids. And so he always had pines in his past. But one of all those philosophies was that you also bring your aesthetic to it, and that part of your love also works with it. And there were portions of the land that were struggling, and they burnt them, and they were so surprised that all these seed beds of prairie, and it would be oak savanna, as she said, came back. And so the land that they have, and they didn't plant some pines in some of the sand blows just to let there be an original bit of the sand blow left that hadn't been planted over. So if you go to the shack, there, and obviously she did, but there are portions of land for different purposes and things like that, and that it's not all one thing. And he has this diversity of Wisconsin, so to speak, on the land, because the pines are part of the landscape as well. And so maybe not specifically in the places he planted the pines, but part of what he was trying to do too was to say, we're in this meso area where the northern pines meet the sand plains and the oak savanna prairies. And so it isn't so much that piece of land had to be exactly restored to some static imaginary place in the past, because the land was always changing, but it was also, he was going to bring together the different elements of Wisconsin on that piece of land, if that makes any sense. So I haven't heard of any plans at the foundation to make it all one thing.
No.
I haven't either, Sarah, but one thing that's interesting, Sarah, about the Pines is that when the Aldo Leopold Foundation, which was formed by Aldo's children, when they built their legacy center, they actually harvested the pines that were 70 years old that the family had planted. They harvested the pines and used them for the legacy center. And when it was finished being built, I believe in 97?
Mm-hmm.
No, 2007. I'm getting.
It wasn't 97.
No, of course not 97.
You're closer with the 2007.
But anyway, it was. It won the certification of being the greenest building in the world.
And they used part of the scraps to make commemorative editions of a San County Almanac. And when I first met Nina, the most wonderful thing is I went into her house. And it was very natural, and they had taken field stone from the river to make the fireplace and the pine above it. She goes, yeah, my mom planted that pine. So they had been managing it because he believed a lot in management. He wasn't saying just everything should be wild, and he came as a forester. And so they actually, you know, would thin the pines regularly, even before they made the center. And they'd use these pines in very effective ways, and one of them was integrated in Nina's house that is built not too far from the Leopold shack. And so it was just so fun because she could tell me exactly about the story of this one pine that was over her fireplace. And every one of those pines, they remembered who planted it, you know, and they were planting thousands of pines, and not just pines, Juneberry. I mean, the amount of bushes and the amount of natural vegetation. It's really monochromatic to just think of the pines because the amount of things they planted was was amazing, the diversity. Plus, they went to different construction sites, and this was Estella's big, Estella Senior. Her big contribution is she loved the wildflowers. And she was seeing that so many construction sites and places were losing the natural prairie plants, flowers, and those from the woods. So she would rescue them, and they would be planting those as well. So, again, it was this sense of trying to rescue the native plants of Wisconsin and put them in an aesthetic way at the shack.
Yeah. Had a great email here from Colleen in Amherst. She says, I have a great story about a Sand County Almanac. I grew up in Montana in 1980 when I graduated from Northern Montana College. I gave my father a copy of a Sand County Almanac for Father's Day. I had long since forgotten about the gift. My father died in 2008. While going through his books, I found the gift from 1980. Inscribed inside the front cover, I had written, Daddy, this book reminded me of you. I read it for an outdoor education class. Much of it brought back memories of the cabin, Austin Healey spirit rides in the mountains, and even that first bitterroot flower you found out in front of your house. Love you, Colleen. My home is now in Portage County. Never imagined the book would be such a significant part of my life.
That's nice.
Isn't that nice?
It's really nice.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And your books are, both of your books are beautiful as well. I hope that, and I want to give the titles again, Aldo Leopold Shack, Nina's Story, and that's Nancy Hunt's book, and Mary Beth Lorbiecki's book is Things Natural, Wild, and Free, The Life of Aldo Leopold. And they're wonderful books. You have, I hope there's, well, you probably, they're so new, you probably haven't got a handle on how they're selling yet. But maybe, Nancy?
I think mine is, the publisher told me it should sell through. So that's good news.
Mary Beth, how about you?
I don't know because it is just out in October. So I haven't heard anything. But I do want to say that they're visually exciting too, particularly the Nina Shack. It's got great photos and sketches and things like that, and it's really wonderful. And in mine,
I love those photos in yours.
Yeah, and in mine, you have a really sense that even if you just go through it and see these fabulous scenes of Aldo at different times of his life, you get a great sense of him. And that, just the visual treat that both of them are because of the great legacy of the photos they've donated, the family did, it makes it easier to get those photos. So I guess I would, I wanted to put in a plug for the visual part of them.
Absolutely. And Nancy, Mary Beth, I want to thank you so much. It was a real treat. What a nice conversation today, and I hope we have a chance to do it again.
Thank you, Larry.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was nice to be here. I appreciate it.
It was.
Oh, could you also mention for everybody, there is a new movie out kind of by the foundation and everything that's called Green Fire. And if you need an introduction to Leopold as an adult,
we can do that. We'll put it up on our Facebook page. And thank you both again. We are out of time.
Thank you, Larry.